obaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.
You are about to be so blessed by the words coming to you from the man of God, Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to be talking to you about scriptural emphasis on cell ministry. You see, the way Christianity has become today, it has not the whole body of Christ, but I don't know. I'll talk about the African Christianity, especially in Ghana or in West Africa, because I see Nigerians also and other West African countries. And they've made Christianity to look very funny. Hallelujah. And by reason of that, many people don't even have an interest in going to church again. Hallelujah. I was talking to somebody the other time. I said, what church do you attend? He said, he laughs. Me? I'm talking on the phone with a person alone. What church do you attend? He said, me? I said, but why? Am I talking to somebody? He said, no, I don't go to church. I said, why? He said, because I'm tired of church. Hallelujah. And you see, the reasons they give, they are valid reasons. You go to church and all the money you have in your account is drained. Hallelujah. It's drained not because you want to serve God or you have purpose willingly to give. But I'm telling you that there are trainings for certain so-called ministers on how to get money. One of them was saying the last time that, the prophet went into a saloon. So the prophet was driving with his boys, and then he saw one of the members, like somebody who comes to the church but doesn't know pastor knows. You know that those kind of people who are in the church but they think pastor doesn't know me. So the man saw the car of the person and entered the place, and then just greeted them. So I hope everything is fine. Yeah, everything is fine and all of that. He didn't even talk to the member. Felt like he didn't know the member. And then the next day, they come to church. The next time they come to church. And then pastor calls this lady. And then he says that, I see that family witches are following you seriously. Now the lady is standing there. Say, yes, I'm telling you. And they are going to work against you through a hairdresser. Do you know any hairdresser called Nana? It is not, I'm not talking about the master of the salon. I'm talking about the master is not a witch and all of that, but then it's going to pass through one of the children. Do you know anybody who runs a salon called Nana? Says no. Where I do my hair? Then he calls. And then he said, do you have any worker called Nana? I said, yes, I have Nana. Hey, bonse madam, no. Then they all make noise. Then he says, Eradin kwane ni dia nipa kon. Sewu bouti, uni mbebi krabe bouti. Dia ebetu mi ato. Ope se Eradin bon upay. Fa aforie begu sister inase. Then everybody is running, especially all the ladies. You do your hair or you don't do your hair. Yeah. So you don't. So that alone can bring like 5,000 Ghana cedis. We have not even started the game. Hallelujah. So people go through these things, just like people who are drinking all kinds of things, Sobolo and all those kind of things. They are going to be drinking at some point. I'm telling you here in this church, give us about 5 to 10 years. That church, those churches will not be anywhere. Praise God. Because you see, there is a threshold for the expectation of people. When you build expectation of people without substance, they are going to be expecting till some point they feel like, no, this thing is not working. I saw a video of somebody putting Sobolo pack beneath the meter. the prepaid meter, so that it wouldn't read. And then if you want to know details, just go to the comment. So I went to the comment, and then somebody said, even the one who did the Sobolo, ECG went to disconnect his light. Praise God. You know, and it's crazy. It's crazy. In our part of the world, the way we worship God is mad. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. And it is because many people have not taken time to learn about what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. Hallelujah. So let's begin from Genesis chapter 7. Let's begin from the cell ministry from Genesis 7. Hallelujah. Genesis 7, 1. Okay, let's read together verse 1. 1, 2, go.
Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female.
Jump to verse 7.
And Noah and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood.
Let's go to Matthew 18. That's, if I'm talking about self ministry, definitely that's where I'm going to begin from. Matthew 18. Did I say Matthew 18? Forgive me. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, has been given unto me. Continue.
Nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Hallelujah. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he comes to the disciples. We're going to go into Genesis right now. He comes to the disciples and he tells the disciples, all power, that's the word authority, all jurisdictional rule in heaven, on earth, has been given unto me. And by virtue of that, go. Hallelujah. So your going is going to be because I have all power. Hallelujah. Your reason for going is because I have all power. Hallelujah. And when you go, there is an assignment I am giving you in your going. In your going, disciple. Hallelujah. That's the word teach. The word is matheteu. Hallelujah. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. It means to become an apprentice. You know, when you go to a salon, you have the master and you have those that we call apprentice. To become an apprentice, to become a student or a pupil. To become a student or a pupil. Hallelujah. It talks about one who learns. One who learns the art of learning. Hallelujah. One who learns or one who is discipled. A disciple. So Jesus did not send the disciples to just go and be talking and just go and be preaching. He sent them to go and make disciples. Hallelujah. There are other versions like that, that say that go and make disciples. Whose version says that? Go and make disciples. So the assignment is not we should congregate on Sunday. Yours?
NIV.
Good. NIV, say put NIV there. Hallelujah. The assignment is not that we should congregate every Sunday, and then after church, we go and we eat kinky. Hallelujah. The assignment Jesus gives to the disciples is for them to go and make. Hallelujah. To go and make a people who will ardently follow him, whose life will be dedicated to serving him. Hallelujah. And you know, one time I was talking to a preacher, and the preacher said, you know what? The truth of the matter is that if the same persecution that the early church faced is brought on us. You know, Paul, yesterday in the meeting when we were reading, Paul says that I made some of them to blaspheme. Now, what that thing there, if you read in its cultural context, when you are gotten as a Christian, they will give you an opportunity to live. You choose between death or life. Now, if you are going to live, you would have to denounce the Lordship of Jesus. So now they ask you, do you believe in Jesus? You say, no, I don't. He says, all right. Is Jesus Lord? Is Jesus the Lord? No. Did he die? No. Did he rise from the dead? No. Then they say, all right, let him go. He's one of us. But then there are some in the face of death, they still will be preaching. Hallelujah. They'll still be preaching. So let's ask ourselves right now. If a gun is pointed at your head and you are asked, are you a Christian? And a funny story is told that terrorist group entered a church. It's not a true story. They entered a church. And then they said that if you are here and you believe in Jesus, lift your hands. They were going to kill you. And then all the members said they don't believe. And the pastor is standing there. And then the armed robbers asked, but what are you doing here? Say, the pastor just told us that we should come. We don't know what we're coming to do here. So please allow us to go. Praise God. But if a gun is pointed at your head and you are asked to denounce Jesus or we blow your brains out, what are you going to do? Come on. What are you going to do? No, I'm asking personally. So I want to hear everybody's, what are you going to do? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. If you don't have that mindset, you cannot go through the mill for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we're having a meeting at Pentecost University, and somebody who is called an elder, I've forgotten the name, elder, somebody came and was like, so do you know, we're having a meeting in a different campus. On Maranatha campus, and says that, do you know if you want to pray, will people have to seek for permission? And all of that. And I said, no. It's not just Pentecost University students alone. My own church members. So if I want to pray with my church members and Pentecost people come to praise up, I should come and seek for permission. What kind of nonsense is that? Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, the boldness with which I spoke is because I have already, even in a Catholic school, that the school was walled. We turned the place upside down. When you go through persecutions for Jesus, your faith is able to become strong. There is nothing that strengthens the faith of Christians than persecution. Listen, the way Christians are littered around and you think we are not serious, let there be an outbreak right now. You will not know how everybody will be stared. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. So if you go through these things, what happens? Your faith is strong. Christianity, there's a man in Pentecost, he says something that I love. He says, Christosum enye bodobodo vivi. That means it's not soft life. Can you imagine? You just get up, you just drive your car and you go to church. You go and sit for a good 15-minute message and then you come back with your family. And then your children say, mommy, I want you. God says, shut up. Praise God. That's not it. You're going to sit down for long hours. Yes, sir. You are going to go to villages to preach the gospel. Yes, sir. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You are going to cast out devils. Yes, sometimes some money you have, you are going to give to a soul. You are going to buy dresses for souls so that they come to church. Yes, that is what makes you a Christian. Yes, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The assignment Jesus gave was to raise disciples, to raise people who will be ardently following him. People whose life, a disciple is one whose life is all about the master. Hallelujah. Now that is what Jesus sent his disciples to go and do. He said, put it there. Well, all right. So he says, read it. One, two, go. Therefore, Go and make disciples. Go and produce disciples. Let your Christianity produce other believers, not just churchgoers, but people who are firm in the faith. People who know the Lord Jesus Christ. People who know how to pray. People who know how to win souls. Hallelujah. People who know how to be priests in a world like this. So go and make disciples. Say with me, I make disciples.
I make disciples.
One more time, say, I make disciples.
I make disciples.
Hallelujah. Go and make disciples of all nations. That means in every nation. Now, nation here, he's not talking about Alaska. No, is Alaska a nation? No, he's not talking about Nigeria, Ghana, Congo, Cameroon, Germany, what? USA, Canada. No. He's talking about every tribe, every sect of people. So the world, you know how they say the music industry or the music world. In the music world, we have worlds, we have nations. We have those who are in the gospel. We have those who are doing R&B. We have those who are doing which one? The rest of them. Hallelujah. So every nation, witches, this thing, it's also a nation. Yeah, it's called witches nation. Hallelujah. Yeah, prostitutes, their own too is a nation. National Association of Sex Workers. Yeah, hallelujah. So every nation, if you get into a campus, it is a nation. It is a nation. You get into your office, it is a nation. And he says that every believer is to make disciples of all nations. Now people say that means some of us are going into politics. No, that's what I'm talking about. When you go into politics, you must make sure that you are raising disciples, not political disciples, disciples that will follow him. Hallelujah. You cannot be close to me enough and not know about Jesus or not see that my life is all about Jesus. Hallelujah. I have one life to live. I said, I have one life to live. Yeah, these are confessions. When you say, be very, don't be right here, you are saying, like, be awake and be saying them. Yeah. What I mean by that is that you can simply say it after me. But then, maybe you have two lives. I have one life to live. It is to please the master. And how do I please the master? By making disciples, by making learners, by raising people who are dedicated to Jesus. People who have the heart to become like Jesus, to live like Jesus, become like Jesus, and walk like Jesus walked. So he says that go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Baptizing them. Now this is not talking about water baptism. Hallelujah. Look at that. Let's go to the next verse 20. 20 will explain it. Verse 20 quickly. And teaching them, put it in King James, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. So you are going to baptize them into my teachings. Okay. Hallelujah. You are going to baptize the Father, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost is not in the original. Hallelujah. Yeah. So you are going to baptize them, putting them in my doctrine. So discipleship is what? Baptizing people in the doctrine of Christ. Baptizing them in the commandment of Christ. Praise God. See, it does not matter how weak you think you are. It does not matter how uninterested in ministry you think you are. By the time I'm done with you, you would love it. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that's the assignment. There's a song in the Church of Pentecost. Go into the world, possessing the nation. Go into the world, make a nation disciples. Hallelujah. That's the work. That's the assignment. So your life will count for God wherever you find yourself. Hallelujah. Wherever you find yourself. You may be a carpenter. If you are working with people, if there are people there, you have to. Because you see, there are people Akosua will meet that I will never meet. Hallelujah. There are people I will never meet. Do I know your boss? Who is your boss? I don't know your boss. There are people in her sphere I will never meet. But when you are there, you are the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ in that place. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you have to make sure your life counts. Your life counts for Jesus. Because you see, if you get all the money in this world, money is good. Hallelujah. Yeah, I like to get money. I didn't say I love money. Because the Bible says we shouldn't get money. We shouldn't love money as ministers of God. He was not talking about Christians who are working. No, that scripture is to pastors. So he says, as a pastor, the love of money is the root of all evil. And it is true. When a pastor loves money, people suffer. But I didn't say Christians should not love money. All you Christians who are not leaders, say, I love money. Yes, yes, yes. All of you Christians who are not leaders, say, I love money. Yeah. He was talking to Timothy, a leader. So if you are a Christian and you are running a business, don't say the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So why did you establish the business in the first place? Hallelujah. Yeah, money is good. But the thing is this. If you get all the money in the world, and you lose your soul. That's how Jesus put it. If you gain the world and you lose your soul, there is no profit. Because real profit or real loss is after this life. Praise the name of the Lord. It's after this life. In this life, you're just going to be, how many years now? Right now, even they say lifespan has decreased. Right now, when you get to 50, you have to start preparing. You're about to die. Hallelujah. You will live your life. What do you want to do with your life? You can do whatever you want to do with your life. Praise the name of the Lord. It's good to chill. If you have the money, chill. Hallelujah. But the thing is this. If your whole life is founded on that, you would have no reward in the afterlife. The Bible says 1,000 years are like one day in the eyes of God. That means in the mind of God, human beings are the creatures that live like in a split second. By the time he gave birth to you, to the time you will die. You know, that's what it is. But the thing is this. Of all the creations of God, there is one that has an afterlife. There is an afterlife. The one that is the creature that is called human beings, born again or not born again, believing in Jesus or not believing in Jesus. Because if somebody does not believe in Jesus, they still will live afterlife. But they will be eternally banished from the presence of God. They will go to the lake of fire, the capital senior brother of hell. That's what the Bible says. And that is the truth. I told you, I have seen hell before. Uh-huh. So I'm not just preaching, I have seen a revelation of it before. It's not like I read it in a book. I experienced it. Hallelujah. And then those who believe in Jesus will live with the Father forever. Hallelujah. But it depends on what you invest in as you are here. And these are things we don't hear in our churches anymore. I want to prophesy you will marry. Say amen.
Amen.
You see those who won't go to heaven. Hallelujah. So Jesus wants us to go and make disciples. Make people who believe in him. Who will not just believe in him and go to church. But people also who will live for him. That is the assignment. And I'm telling you, that's the most difficult thing to do in this world. To win a human being. To win a human being. It's not a small thing. Hallelujah. So he wants us to live for him. That is what he wants our lives to be about. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5.
There's a song that says, I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus day after day. The Holy Spirit, I do obey. I live for Jesus day after day. For we know that, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Some of you've never heard these songs before. Yeah, some of you never went to Sunday school. By the time you woke up, you were in the midst of people. All right, let's read it. One, two, go. Then we're all dead. Next verse. So did you see that? He died so that those who live should not live for themselves. They shouldn't live unto themselves, but unto. Praise God. So that we will live for the one who died and rose again. Whatever you are living for, did that thing die?
No.
And did that thing rise again?
No, sir.
No. Hallelujah. So my profession cannot be the total definition of what my life is. Hallelujah. You know, something happened in class, you know, I think like a week or 2 weeks ago. And, you know, our lecturer who teaches, public international law, you know, and he was talking, she was explaining why she doesn't have time. She doesn't have time. She was just explaining, telling the people, that's why when you reach out to me, you can't get me. You are not able to reach me. I'm very busy. Sometimes. And then they say, I'm not even able to go to church. I join online service. So I join. And then, you know, I give my tithe to some poor widow bee in my neighborhood because I'm not supposed to go to the church. You know. And then you are saying, then you ask the class, is it wrong? Then those who were sitting, I normally sit at the back. So everybody turn like that. Then she said, oh, Reverend, I said, yeah, you are wrong. You really are wrong. I'm telling you, you are wrong. Man is bigger than profession. Look at how God made man. You think God made man and gave man a job? He gave man a work, not a job. God's idea is not for you to live your whole life from when did you start working? At what age did you start getting, they started paying you? From 24 years till 60 years. And all that your life is about is that you get up in the morning, you dress, you go and sit somewhere, and then 5 o'clock, you come back home. What is wrong with you? That's not life. The Bible says in Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over everything. That's God's mind for making man. Don't you understand that? Praise the name of the Lord. God did not make man for man to be dominated upon. If you are working and the work is not giving you space to serve God, you stop it. That's what it is. I'm the only person that can preach this thing. You stop it. Because God did not make man for man to be overwhelmed to the point that he can't serve God. No, that's wrong. How many years are you going to stay here on earth? 25, 30 years, 60 years, you are dead. That's not what he wants our lives to be. Go and read in Genesis. I say, when God made Adam, the Bible says he gave the whole garden to him. To till. That is work. That is. He gave man a job to manage everything he's done. And then he told man, before man got a job, he told man, have dominion. Yes, so you are going to till everything that I have made, but nothing of that is going to rule over you. Yes, praise God. If your life is like that, you have lost the relevance of being a man. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm serious about it. So he wants us to live for him. He wants us to live for him. Say, I live for him.
I live for him.
And our living for him is to make disciples. Every Christian, you, if you've been born again for 5 years, and you have not, I'm not saying you brought somebody to church, you have not discipled. If somebody does not owe his fervency, if somebody does not owe his love for God to you, then you have not done anything in the life of being a Christian. Hallelujah. That's what our life is supposed to be about. And you see, let's go back. Let's go back to the Matthew. Let's go back to the Matthew. I'm still trying to enter the message. No, go back to 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. That I say the word teach is what? Okay. So go ye therefore, put in NIV so that we can get everything correct. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Hallelujah. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. So go and make disciples. Who are disciples? The people Jesus was talking to were who? Who were the people Jesus was talking to? And he was telling the disciples to go and make. So what do? Disciples make disciples. So that word can be read as go and make discipling disciples. Disciples that will disciple others. Hallelujah. The assignment is that when you get born again, it is not that because you are looking for a job. It's not for God to help you fix your marriage. It's not for God to help you get a visa to abroad. Praise the name of the Lord. Because the abroad you want to go to, Nigeria is abroad. Abroad simply means beyond borders. Hallelujah. Your abroad is somebody's nationality. Are we together in this place? You don't need to pray to go to abroad. Why do you have to pray to go to abroad? It's because you want to go and fraud them at the embassy. Because your documents are not complete. Hallelujah. If you have 50,000 euros in your account or 100,000 euros in your account, and you can, you know, people don't even know that you can apply for a visa on your laptop. Yes, you don't need anybody. There are rich people that even when they're about to travel, they have to get somebody to do connection for them to go. It tells you that poverty is a state of mind. If you have 100,000 euros in your account or $100,000 in your account, you can just apply. Then you submit all necessary documents and nobody is going to say that don't go. It's because you want to go and not come back. That's why. Praise the name of the Lord. So we are not here to pray for people to travel. One time somebody called me. He says that I think he went to either the... was going to do either passport or he had an interview or something and called me and said, hey, I'm doing it. When I put my hand on the biometric machine, nothing shows. I've washed my hand. Here's the passport. I said, what's wrong with you? Come home. If you come home, if it's not wearing, come home. Praise the name of the Lord. No, come home. What's your problem? For passport. Oh, come on, please. Don't worry, pastors, like that. Hallelujah. It's not needed. You don't need to pray to travel. You need an account to travel. And that is that. You don't need any prayer to travel. So we don't come to church for that. We don't come to church so that we will marry. No. We don't come to church so that we'll get a job. We don't come to church so that we'll kill our family witches. That is irresponsible. Hallelujah. The reason why we become Christians, the reason why we become believers, is to disciple the world.
Hallelujah.
I want to say that again. The reason why we become Christian is to disciple the world.
Hallelujah.
So when you become born again, you live a life of impact. And a life of impact is not because you are a political figure. It's not because you are Nelson Mandela. In our faith, impact and influence is very narrow. And it is narrow to one thing. The people you take out of hell and you bring into the kingdom and you disciple them, that is the influence. Hallelujah. It's very narrow. your support to the work of God. That's that. If you go and become a politician and you are ruling the whole world, it does not accumulate any heavenly rewards or records. No. Hallelujah. It is just like going out to buy fish to eat. There's nothing more important. That it's not important than anything. In one time, I'll show you what the Bible says about the rewards that will be given to faithful servants of God, faithful Christians. And you see, there was nothing in there that when you were a politician, you didn't steal. So come and sit at my right hand. There's nothing like that. When you steal here, they catch you. You'll be jailed. You'll be incarcerated. If they don't catch you too, you are gone. But you go and meet God there because thievery is wrong. Praise God. Our life is narrowed. So once I was explaining to somebody when Jesus says that narrow is the way that leads to life and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And people use that to preach holiness and what have you. No. That's not what it's talking about. God's principle for salvation is not broad. His principle is not many. Hallelujah. It's not many. Go to the religions of the world. If you want to go to heaven, pray 5 times a day, give alms to the poor, do this. In Christianity, you want to make heaven, what do? Believe in the name of the Son of God and you are gone. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. So he wants us to go and make disciples. He wants us to go and fill men with his spirit. He wants us to go and teach people how to walk with the Spirit of God. He wants us to go out to teach people how to lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. That will bring the power of the enemy to naught. If we are all teaching these things in our churches, I'm telling you, there is nobody that can get up and tell us that there's no power in Christianity. It's because we don't know. It's because many are not taught. But this assignment that God has given to us, or Jesus has given to us, is large. Where are we starting from? How are we going to train people? When somebody becomes born again, how do we get the person to be able to do this thing that Jesus wants him or her to do? Hallelujah. The first thing God does is that now the person that you have gone to speak to, the person that you have gone to influence, and the person that has believed in Jesus, I will place that person in a local assembly, which is called church. So it is a bad habit for a Christian not to go to church. Hallelujah. Someone say, the reason I'm not going to church is because when I go to church, they will do offering. You are poor. And I keep saying, as if poverty is in the mind. Somebody can be very rich and still the reason why he doesn't go to church is because of offering. You don't have a problem paying for a ticket worth how much? 5,000 Ghana cedis to go and watch a movie. You go and watch a movie. Somebody is playing football. You go and buy ticket of 500 Ghana cedis so that you can go and watch people, 22 people who are chasing an inflated robber. Just an inflated robber. People, they are all chasing it so that you just enter some, and that's all that your life is about. There are some of you, you know all the players in this world, but you can never mention the 12 disciples of Jesus. I'm telling you, praise the name of the Lord. It will tell you to mention all the 12 disciples of Jesus. You know Asna, you know Don Bote, you know Michael Essien, you know all these guys, you know their name. Praise the name of the Lord. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit to know about musicians and footballers and not know about the disciples of Christ. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be very holy. It's a bad habit. I'm telling you, it's a bad habit. It's a bad habit. You know all the hip hop artists in this world. Beyonce. What again?
We don't know.
You know. You just don't want to tell me, but you know. Cardi B. And all these guys. But if we tell you right, somebody should get up. Give me the names of the 12 disciples. Who is a footballer fan here? Lift your hand. Hey, who is a footballer fan here? Hey, today nobody is a footballer fan here. Wow. It's a bad habit. Yes. One time I told somebody to mention, he said Luke was part of the disciples of Jesus. I said, hey, Luke. And right now, as I'm talking, some people are saying, Jesus, I thought God I didn't say. Because you will mention Luke. Hallelujah. It's a bad habit. It's a very, very bad habit. There are people who will pay. Right now, you know, one time I wanted to go and watch boxing. Yeah. When I was young, I loved boxing and wrestling. And then car racing. So I wanted to go and watch some. And I didn't know that you have to pay before you went. I said, hey, to go and watch somebody beat somebody, I have to give you money. God forbid, I'm not going there. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. No, people don't have a problem. You go to the mall, and by the time you are coming out of the mall, you spend like 500 Ghana cedis. That one is fine. You are going to church, and you are going to support God's work. And those people complain. They don't give any proper money in the house of God. No proper money. They will just come. They will just dump some 20 Ghana cedis, be there. 50 Ghana cedis be there. And because of that, pastor and his children are chopping our money. Go away. Praise the name of the Lord. Who are you? We say we are moving out of this place. We are renting a place. And on Saturday or Friday? Friday. The place is costing 130,000 Ghana cedis. Subtract your offering from 130,000. You will know that your offering doesn't do anything. Now, that is just the hall. The hall. Yeah. And Pastor White spoke to the man so that the man will give it to us at 120,000. So we are paying 120. And we pay 60,000 Ghana cedis. Fresh money. To somebody we don't know from anywhere. To give us a place to worship our own God who created everything. That's the hall alone. Speakers have not come. Carpet have not come. What do we call chair? Ask for the chairs. I say, when you are coming, just come with your chair. We won't buy chairs. Else we all sit down and we'll be worshiping God. You come with your chair. Chairs have not come. The place will need about 3 ACs of this caliber. If you are buying one at 12,000, is how much? 36,000. You are saying pastors are chopping your money. That's why Accra, the pastors are thieves. Many of the pastors, not all of them. Because Accra church, you don't have money, you can't do it. So you are going to just give how much? 20 cedis. And because of that, pastors are chopping your money. They will chop. Because when you come to church, you don't sit on the floor. When you come to the church, you don't sit. I'll talk on giving next month.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If you don't like giving, don't come to church. Because I will get straight bullets from the word of God. Hallelujah. We are to disciple the nations. Yeah, we are to disciple the nations. We are to bring them to the knowledge of Christ. How do we do that? The first system God has given is the local church. To plant the people in a local church. Hallelujah. So every Christian who is serious about his eternal life, every Christian who is serious about eternity, belongs to a local church. You've got to belong to a church. Hallelujah. And then one of the biblical principles by which God used to disciple people, or by which he used to work his salvation, began always with small groups. Now, this one is not the local church. We are talking about small groups for the local church. And that is what we call cell ministry. That's what we call cell ministry. We call cell ministry, or here in our church, we call it One It, the Waves Network. That's the meaning of One It. Hallelujah. We coming together in smaller groups to learn the word of God and to practice the word of God. Hallelujah. I've seen that when we just created these small groups for us to be sharing the Bible after church, to share what we have learned. People communicate. But if you call those people to talk here, they'll be shivering. Praise God. So we begin with small groupings. And that is what we read in Genesis. Now let's go back to Genesis. If I just started from Genesis, you wouldn't have understood it. Now let's go to Genesis. God had made man. Man had been corrupted. And then there is the decision to wipe man from the face of the earth. And then there was a man who was righteous, who found grace in the eyes of God. And God says, all right, I'm going to work redemption for the world through a family, through a man. Hallelujah. So the first thing God does is that he chooses a man. Hallelujah. When he chooses that man, then he chooses those who are with that man in that smaller group. So verse 1 now. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family. Hallelujah. Because I found you righteous in this generation. So go into the ark, go with your family. Hallelujah. It's very important. When you people grow and you become fathers and Jesus has not come, I'll teach you this scripture. You are a married man, or you want to marry. One of the things that is very important is to teach your wife and your children God. Okay. Hallelujah. Yeah. You need to, we'll see that in Abraham. Abraham did that. He did not just build altars. Abraham built people for God. Hallelujah. So God chooses Noah. And he tells Noah, pack all your family and go into the ark. And you are going to be a point, I'm going to work salvation. So I want you to go save as the water comes to destroy the earth. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Genesis 18, 17 to 19. So Noah's place, Noah's house, or Noah's family, became like a cell ministry. Hallelujah. God begins with a cell. And that's why I say when we go for cell meetings or when we are in smaller group meetings, we must expect the move of God just as we expect when the man of God is preaching. Did you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. You don't go for cell meeting because you have a cell, you just carry your bag. I mean, because cell meeting, you can go and you won't come back. What do I mean by you won't come back? You can go and the move of God will be so strong. Hallelujah. One of the Wanetin in Psalm, they went for cell meeting. And I'm telling you, everybody was slain under the power of God. Cell meeting. There were like 6 people. So God does not need large crowds to move. Even with 3 people, if you meet and you are discussing the word of God and you have the right mentality, I'm telling you, God can move. There are cell meetings that a lot of healings have happened. Emotional healing, body healings and all of that. Praise the name of the Lord. So when you go for that smaller groups, what do? You expect God to move just as you expect him to move in the main church. Hallelujah. Praise God now. Now let's read it, 18 to 19. And the Lord said, read it, 1, 2, go.
Mm-hmm. See that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation,
mm-hmm.
and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him.
Hallelujah. God says, I know him. I know him that when I tell him this thing, what's he going to do? Come on, what's he going to do? He will command his children and his household after him. It is bad parenting for like me. I'm coming to church. Then my child will say what? You are mad. By the time I open my eyes and close. No, by the time I will close and open, you are already there. Huh? Praise the name of the Lord. No. if my child reaches the age of accountability, I won't even pick him in my car to take him to church. No. By the time I wake up, you have gone to prepare church already, and I'm coming to preach. Hallelujah. It helps, I'm telling you. The Bible says, teach the child the way he should go. Not the way, a way he should go. Teach him the way. It's not like all these people and all this thing that they are teaching all around the world. That let the children choose what they want. Here, we don't choose what we want. Where they lash you, it will correct your spirit. You teach the child the way he should go. You have a junior brother. You have a junior sister. Just there, you are going to church. You live there. You are, No. You teach the child the way he should go. And when he grows, he will not depart from it. Hallelujah. Most people get broken. Most people are destroyed. Most people are not correct in their heads. Because right from infancy, nobody trained them. Hallelujah. You see, a father will go to work in the morning. He's coming in the evening. Mother is working. Daddy is working. Then they will leave their child to one nanny that they don't know. Oh, please, don't do that. I tell you, the moment you give birth, you have to plan. Between you and your husband, one must stay home. The moment you give birth and the child reaches the stage of training, from 0 to 5 years, you should not be working. One of you should not be working. Do you know that raising a family is a divine call? Yeah. Because society begins from family system. When the family system is broken, the world is in trouble. Praise the name of the Lord. I see my brother's case and I'm so happy. I see doctor's case and I'm so happy. You can see training. You know, one time I went there and I said, I'm taking them to the mall. And then I packed all of them in my car. There are like 4 kids. And then one extra child of somebody, I don't know, who was staying with them. So I packed all of them and I took them to the mall. And then the eldest is a girl and then the rest are boys. So they will go and they will pick this. And that they had money, so I didn't care. And then I saw the girl go there and say, Fatuo. Now I'm standing somewhere and I'm watching. He says, pick one. That's what she says, pick one. Do you know why you have to pick one? So that somebody will not take advantage of you when you grow. I'm supposed to be the brother's brother. I'm supposed to be like a father. And he goes and she goes and she picks one thing. Now, when we're descending, she finds another thing she likes. Then she was, I said, ah, where? I go, I'm going to drop this one. I think I like. I said, no, pick that one too. I said, no. I said, pick that one too. I said, okay. Okay, after all, I'm the elder, so I go to. That is training. One time I was with my brother, and then I gave something to the child. It was a drink or something. And then the boy just took it and was running. They said, come back. See ya! On the hand. Yeah. You say thank you to daddy. Say thank you. Yeah. I said, ah! Thank you, Susu Abroom. I'm not saying whip children. No. So that when they grow, they will not depart from it. They are born again before they even become really born again.
Oh, yes.
And those souls, they are very nice to work with. Hallelujah. There are some people, they just can't lie. They can't lie. Do you know where I was trained? Where I grew up from? We lie to laugh. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So that's that. And God says, I know Abraham. I know Abraham is going to teach his children. And he's going to teach his household. And he will teach his family. May the Lord use you to teach your family. Yeah. I said, may the Lord use you to teach your family. Yeah. You believe it? I said, may the Lord use you to teach your family. Yeah. Your children will never depart from the ways of the Lord. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because of you, many will know the Lord. I said, because of you, many will know the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let's read the last one and then I'll close. I don't want to be talking for a long time today. Oh, glory to God.
Glory.
So write this down. God expected Abraham to disciple his household. Spiritual leadership begins in the home. Spiritual leadership begins in the home. The essence of cell ministry. Are you there?
Not yet.
God expected Abraham to disciple his household. Full stop. Spiritual leadership begins in the home. To the mothers, to the fathers, to senior brothers and all of that. Spiritual leadership begins in the home. The essence of cell ministry. Full stop. Can I continue? Can I continue? Okay. Abraham's home became the first model of a spiritual cell where faith and righteousness were taught and practiced. Should I take that again? Abraham's home became the first model of a spiritual cell where faith and righteousness were taught and practiced. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now let's take the last one. Let's look at the Jethro principle. The Jethro principle. Hallelujah. And then I'll be done with you and we'll continue next week. Exodus 18, 13 to 26. Should I take that again? Should I take it again? Okay. Where are you? Who said yes? Where are you? Okay, so Abraham's home became the first model of a spiritual cell or of a cell ministry where faith and righteousness were taught and practiced. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Jethro principle. Exodus 18, 13 to 16. And it came to pass on the morrow, that is tomorrow, that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" That is evening. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Continue. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do." Praise God. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and a place such over them." I'll talk about this when we meet at a camp. "To be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every matter, every small matter shall they judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." Hallelujah. Praise God. So Moses has led these people out of bondage, and he sits in the morning till evening hearing issues. Hallelujah. "And please, my husband doesn't take care of me. And yesterday I called my husband with a Samaritan woman. Yesterday I did this." And Jethro was Moses's father-in-law. So Jethro decides to visit one day in the wilderness. So the man comes and asks the daughter, where is your husband? Says, oh, he's in the field. He's doing the work of God. Then the man says, all right, let me go to where he's working. So he goes and he sees Moses sit from morning till evening. The first day, the man didn't say anything. Second day, he didn't say anything. Third day, he didn't say that. That's my own addition. So now the man said, no, I got to talk to this boy. So, and Jethro was a priest, not a priest unto God. He was a priest unto something else. So he comes to Moses and said, what you're doing is not wise. You are going to be tired. You're going to wear out. So what you have to do is this. Group the people. You are going to talk to them about, you are going to teach them the word of God. Now, but then put them in tens and in 50s, in smaller groups, and put judges over them, put leaders over them, who will be able to get your information across. And then these judges also will be able to handle matters. Hallelujah. They will handle matters, except that the matters are bigger than them. If it's smaller matters, let them decide. If there are bigger matters, then they come to you. Hallelujah. And Moses, all right, that's a good idea. Now, that establishes a structure. You don't just go to pastor. Pastor, please, can I talk to you? What is it? Your matter should have gone through your cell leader. Hallelujah. And that is why it is important for every Christian to have a shepherd. Now, your pastor is your father in the Lord. Hallelujah. But then you have shepherds. You have shepherds. So in your group, let's even begin with a group thing that we do after church. In your group, if there are any matter, what do? You go to your group leader. Someone say, I can't trust my group leader. You got to trust your group leader. Hallelujah. And this and this and that and that. And then your group leader will give you the counsel. If your group leader feels like the counsel is, the counsel should come from the man of God, he's going to bring you to me. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And that helps a lot. You know, it helps a lot to strengthen your faith. It helps a lot to build you as a Christian. Because you see, if we all come to church and I'm preaching and we go home, how many of you in the course of the week, how many of you get time to go over it again to understand what I said? But in your group meetings, the same things that I share are shared with you. At the cell level, it is what is being taught in the month that they come and then they teach you again. Hallelujah. It makes the work simple and easy. Because listen, the man of God said that if everybody is coming to the man of God, what will happen? He will wear out. That means preachers get tired. Look at someone, say, preachers get tired. Say it better. Say, the man of God gets tired. Yeah, praise the name of the Lord now. Yeah. We had a lady in Zaum. I'll mention her name because all of you will know her, you know. And, we had an all night, then it came into all day. And we closed around 9 or 10. I mean, I couldn't stand on my feet. Yesterday, like this, when I fell on the bed, I couldn't sleep. I would just sleep and then I wake up. I feel like it's like somebody is pulling my leg. Yeah, it was the place was burning. Hallelujah. So we had finished this all night, and this lady came to me. Daddy, you know, and if you're a pastor, you can't push people away because God will judge you. Because the way, listen. That is why Moses did not go to the promised land. Because the people of God provoked him. And he told them his mind.
Oh, yes.
You hard-hearted, stubborn, foolish people. And God said, Moses, you did not sanctify my name before the people. Because of that which you have done, your eye will see the land. You will enter. I will never be like Moses. No, I will see the land. Hallelujah. And I will enter. Yeah. So if you joke with God's children, you are going to be in trouble. So I said, all right. I'm a daddy. I said, yeah. This lady started talking. started talking. The thing that she's talking about, it does not make sense. And yes, or Baba catch him, he says, say na mi kumu, one me bon komo.
Oh, yes.
One me bon komo. No, because if it's something that you are dealing with, that's the right thing to do. One me bon komo. And I'm eating now. 80. My brain may far kunya at naso. Then went. I was going. I just fell in the chair. I didn't collapse. I just fell. You know, like you are going down. You can't wait to sit down. So I aided myself to go faster. That's so that you are sitting down. That's wickedness. So men of God, get tired. And the Bible says when the man of God has all the problems of the ministry, what's going to happen? It's going to wear out. The way you come to church and always the message is fresh, a time will come if you misbehave. I won't get fresh message. I will come to my bones because I am worn out. Hallelujah. And Jethro is saying that one of the ways to ease the pressure on the minister is to settle matters at the cell level. Praise God. Except the matter is a difficult matter or it is a hard matter. So you need to belong to a cell. As the cell helps you to grow, it also gives you the opportunity to hear the wisdom God has placed in your cell leader. Somebody say, we are in Accra. As for Accra, cell meetings, somebody is at Latabi Okoshi. Another person is at Mamobi. The other person is at Ofanko. You know, when we went to rent the place, Pastor Ezra was telling me that Accra traffic, when it is four and people are coming from Achimota, there is traffic at the new plan to this thing. I say, look at you people. Accra, say Madrid. If church start at 6:30 and you close at 4, that's a traffic bar for moto. It's as simple as that. Learn all these things so that your life will be easy. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, if I'm coming to church and I'm driving and there's traffic on the road, I'm telling you, I'll park the car and then I'll pick a moto and come to church. It does not reduce my anointing. It's one for truck. That truck on the aim, do one for boat. Boat, you know, aim, do I was a master. And the trip, I'm in Chowka. May far moto aqua, sorry. You will not die. Do you think you will die? Someone say, hey, me, I've never sat on a moto before. Hey, no. Hey, when you sit on this, ask for helmet. Even if you fall down, the Bible says the righteous fall 7 times, you will lift them up. So you'll be lifted up. Hallelujah. Yeah, all this lofty Christianity, it's not like that. Oh.
Yeah.
In China, Christianity is not legal. If they find you doing what we are doing now, and you have not been licensed, and when you are licensed, you will preach the government. You will not preach Jesus. You come to church and you come to hear about communism. So people do underground churches. Listen, some people take train and for 4 hours they are in a train. They are going to church. Some people have one documentary I watch. The man has a very big corn plantation. And then in the middle is where they have the church. And to say, oh, for more control, bro. Oh, sorry. What's it? A friend is it? Where? Mamprobi. Just Mamprobi here. That's where my cousin is. Mamprobi. Mamprobi here that you just pass here, get here, and just jump here. You are coming to, your friend is saying, off and call, and you are late to church. And we should clap for you because this place is Accra. There's a lot of traffic here. You are not ready for your life. Praise the name of the Lord. You are not ready. And when we get a place, we'll do Wednesday, Friday. We'll just do like we're in his home. Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, LSMs. We'll have camps. That's the kind of pastor I am. Hallelujah. We will have the meetings right after lectures. You pick motto. You are coming. You don't come to church. I'm telling you, you're going to have a problem with me. Hallelujah. So let us love the cell ministry. Hallelujah. You are at Achimota. Your cell meeting happens at where? Circle. Go early. Go early. Go and join. Pray. Because if we don't do it like that, we cannot shake the kingdom of hell. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Yeah, we can shake the kingdom of hell. And this is the time for us to shake the kingdom of hell. So belong to a cell. Hallelujah. Yeah, belong to a cell. Next year, we're going to have our cell meetings restored. It's because of the PUC meetings that, but next year, I'm assuring you, right from Amor Camp, our cell meetings are going to be restored. We'll find people in a geographical area, all right? And that area can be from, you know, Circle, passing through East Legon, passing through, yes. So if you are around that place, you pick a car and you are coming for fellowship meetings. Say, I can do it. Not like even saying, in the name of Jesus, I can do it. I remember when Daddy was doing the home sales, home-based churches. And then he did and said, okay, so those of you around Dobro, Amasama, Pokwase, Circle, your cell, where you will meet at in some prisons. Yeah, you meet in some prisons. I said, wow, that's a real cell. And people were coming. Yeah, you come to church on Wednesday, you come to church on Friday, you come to church on Sunday, and then you'll be going for home-based churches. Yeah, there's one man, he would drive from Christ the King. Where's, you know, where's that? Is it around 37 thereabouts? Oh, is it around that place? I don't know. Yeah, around that place. We'll drive, where? Yes, Jubilee House. Yeah, around that place. He would drive and come to his home. Yeah, for cell meetings. He will come and then he will come and the people in his home, they are now coming. You just coming to meet about six people. And he was the cell leader. Cell leader, you drive and you will come. And they will be taking reports. Praise the name of the Lord. This is how Christians are raised. This is how solid spiritual people are raised. And no wonder right now Christians, somebody like your friend is saying, Ajagureja Eka, Sana Christo ni Eti. No, no, no. It's because we've not been taken through the meal. Hallelujah. And I present to you, I'm going to take you through the meal.
Hallelujah.
So the cell ministry has scriptural foundations. So we're going to do that next week again. Hallelujah. It has scriptural foundation. There are scriptural reasons why we must belong to a cell ministry in the church. Hallelujah. The cell is teaching what is being taught at church so that we can be built up. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want us this morning, as we are closing, we are going to lift up a prayer over our cell ministry. Hallelujah. We are praying that in the name of Jesus, this Waves network is being built in every city. Hallelujah. It's being built in every city. I got a call from Siam. And he told me he's at Russia, he's doing his master's, and he says he wants to start a cell on campus, Russia, Moscow. Hallelujah. In every city. Some of you, you will get to do your master's, your PhDs, wherever. Some of you will go to the United States, some of you go to Canada, some will go to Germany, wherever. Some of you too, your work will take you to the north. Some of you, your work will take you to, you know, and Trim Rantem and all of that. Wherever. Rashid is in Ghana, but he has a cell in the US. Hallelujah. So we are praying in the name of Jesus. Everywhere. May the Lord, first of all, let's pray. Let's do it like this. First of all, may the Lord raise laborers. People whose heart will be ready to start a cell and people whose heart will be ready to be relevant members of the cell. We want to pray for laborers in the name of Jesus. And then our second prayer will be that, Father, we pray that in every community, we believe to see in every community, let there be centers where your word will be taught. From this church in the name of Jesus, let OneNet be a household name in the faith in the name of Jesus, where people are taught, where people are raised in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Come on, lift up your voice. Kada lava shavahaya. Kela basata, labaraka basataya. Mendo shakata kabaya. Imparakata lava shavahaya. Come on, lift up your voice. Kata kababaya.
We trust you've been blessed by this message.
This and many more messages by Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu are now available on all major podcasting platforms. Kindly search for Reverend Samuel Kwame Sasu and tap the follow button for more. Visit us at any GWC church near you in Sawom, Kutunse, Achimota, Bubuashi, Kumase, Kintampo, and Oda. God bless you.
Kobaye. In Christianity, God is a preserver. In Christianity, God is a deliverer. In Christianity, God is one who prospers. He's a prosperer. He's one who prospers. So in Christianity, God is our soter.